I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
This episode is brought to you by Podmetrics. Podmetrics is a podcast analytics platform that enables podcasters to see all the relevant data they need to know about their podcast's audience. Sign up now at podmetrics.co and use the referral code Wrestling2XPod. Again, the code Wrestling2XPod.
What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed.
I said, give me the hell yeah!
Hey, this is Zeta Zay.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte.
Talent is not sexually transmitted.
You need to go back to the drawing board because your game absolutely sucks!
Hey, everyone, this is Jeff Cobb, and you're listening to the Wrestling Podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Wrestling Podcast. Stan C, Ro Moran, and Chino Liao coming to you on our exclusive audio-only episodes. It's the first one we're doing for 2021. We haven't really done this in a while. I think the last time we did one of these was with, I don't know, Thunder Rosa. Tama ba? It's been a while.
Yeah. No. Si Carlo.
Oh, yeah. Carlo Pamintuan of ESPN5. Yeah. That was the last audio-only one we did for last year. For this year, we're bringing it back because we've got guests that we can talk to again outside of yung normal wrestling talk that we do on Kumu every week. And for this episode, we've got Butch Mapa on the podcast. And he's a Filipino comic book artist who has worked on the Avengers, basically, on brands like Marvel. So it's really a big deal whenever we find the mga Filipinos were able to represent us on the global stage. And Butch will get to talk to us all about that. He's also a huge fan and he's done some commissions and pinups related to wrestling. So he'll tell us a story about how he got involved into comics and how his love for wrestling is able to transition over into his work.
I just want to say real quick, as a comic book fan and as a wrestling fan, it's such an insightful interview with Butch Mapa,
right,
who tells us about how to get into the comic book industry, what it takes, etc. And, you know, I did a snack flex. I did a comic book episode with our friend Rob Cham.
Yeah.
So you can knock that. He also talked to us about the local comic book industry, Fast Down, which is available on Spotify. But then at the same time, Butch goes in depth on the larger international market. So ang galing, madami din ako natutunan about getting into comic books, what it takes, and how the cycle is.
We should have Rob on the show. Wonder why we don't do Rob.
Yeah, he is a wrestling fan din naman. My favorite takeaway from this episode, which you guys will get to hear in a bit, is how he was able to draw these parallelisms between how you come up in wrestling and how you come up in the comic book industry. And it's really symbolic of the hustle that you need to succeed in either industry. Now let's get to the main event of the show. Here's Butch Mapa on the Wrestling Podcast. It's been a while since we last did these audio-only episodes of the Wrestling Podcast. And what we've done, one of our New Year's resolutions, is to really save it for yung mga special guests. That way, these audio-only episodes become extra special as well. So for the first audio-only episode for 2021, we've got Filipino comic book artist Butch Mapa joining us. He's a huge wrestling fan, and his love for wrestling has actually made its way into his work. We're going to talk all about that. But first, Butch, welcome to the Wrestling Podcast. Thank you for joining us. And can you introduce yourself a little bit for our listeners who may not be familiar with the name or the face, but may have seen your work in different media?
Alright, hey, nice to meet you guys. Hello to all the listeners out there. Yeah, I'm Butch Mapa. I'm mostly a comic artist. That's probably how anyone would see me online, would be in that function. So I've been drawing comic books for, God, I don't know, like maybe more than a decade by now. So I've been around, but not like we have our comic book industry representatives here in the Philippines in terms of the art. Like we have so many successful and amazing talents who I consider my friends, but in terms of my own place in comics, I would say I'm at the, like for wrestling, I'd be at the maybe the ROH level, like in terms of fame or notoriety, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like an indie talent that's been around a while.
I would say Impact, because you're kind of doing Marvel stuff and, you know, make crossover there, right? With Impact and AEW and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess that's probably my biggest gig that I've landed. So it's one of those things where it took so many years to become an overnight success or whatever. I've drawn a few issues of something called Marvel Action Avengers, which is sort of like a young adult middle grade version of the Avengers comics. That's probably the biggest like notch in my belt, so to speak.
How'd you get into comic book into comic art and just being an illustrator and an artist in general?
You know how I guess all of us as children we like to doodle, right? Like to draw things. You know, when I remember being young and there'd be like assignments like, oh wow, draw what you want to be. So I draw like, oh, I want to be a scientist. I want to be a doctor. I'll draw like an astronaut. So I just never stopped drawing, I guess. So eventually I got good enough at it. And I have like so many like notebooks where the start would be like notes. And then towards the end, starting at the back, you'd have doodles. And then you'd meet at the middle. It's the same. You're like, oh shit, I ran out of space because it's just lots of drawings of Wolverine or whatever. So that's how I got into art in general. And then like in terms of comic books, that's mostly because of my brother, I guess. Because my brothers, both of them, I guess, they used to buy like comic books like back in the day, like during, you know, your X-Men or Teen Titans or whatever. And obviously I was into art anyway. Back then we didn't have cable or Netflix. So when you weren't watching cartoons, you're like, oh, what else can I do that's kind of similar? And it's like, oh, look, comic books. And that's how I got into that.
How did you turn pro? Because, you know, a lot of kids, they did exactly what you described. Now they'll be doodling on their own notebooks and exploring the art. Pero a lot of people would also say na, oh, that's a creative field eh. So hindi ka kikita dyan, but it's typical Filipino mindset. So how did you turn pro and how did you, I guess, push aside yung stigma ng elder generations against the creative pursuits?
Oh, sure. Well, of course, I never stopped drawing. And it was always one of those things during college, because when I studied business economics in college, so nothing to do with comic books, with drawing. Even though, again, straight into college, I was using up all my notebooks for artwork. And then after graduating, I was like, okay, I guess I'll give it a shot. Like, I guess I had sort of a gap year, one of those deals, and I was like, I had enough support, I guess, from my family that I could try it. So I tried it. And I remember going to job interviews for, I don't know, advertising companies or banks or whatever. And then we'd talk about, of course, they'd try to get to know you and stuff. And then towards the end, they'd be like, you know, you talk more about comic books than you did about what we want here. So maybe you should give that a try. And I'm like, oh, okay. So yeah, I just tried it and just very fortunate enough that I was able to make a living out of it, and I never really had to stop.
I mean, I noticed that you seem to have no formal training in art.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Absolutely fair. I took like some summer course like a long time ago. And other than that, well, that's a beautiful thing about art and especially comic books. Like they're not gonna look for, did you graduate with this degree or whatever, you did you take this course? It's just literally what marks you can put down on paper, or you know, and that's it. And that's what the editors or your clients will judge you on. So again, just very, very lucky.
So for Marvel, which you work for now, I know that they have a very stringent application process of of submitting sample after sample before you finally get the job. Is this true? And how long did it take you to get a job with one of the largest comic book companies in the world?
Right. Okay. So just to, it's kind of a weird situation where my direct boss is the folks at IDW, which is a smaller company. I don't know exactly why, but Marvel decided a few years ago to license out their younger audience properties, or rather their properties for younger audiences to another company, a direct competitor, to be honest. So how I got in through there was, I just emailed some, like the main, and you know, if there are any people who are interested in making a career out of comic books, I just blind emailed some samples I did to the company email address. This was like 2011, 2012, like a long time ago. And the guy who replied was like at the time, maybe an intern or like an assistant editor. And he was the one who replied. He said, you know, good job, nice work. So I remember I got his email contact from that, and we just kept up a relationship for the next, I don't know, 6-7 years. And then finally, I guess he's like, okay, this guy's still sending me emails, sending me artwork. I guess he's serious about this. I'll give him a shot. And again, just very lucky. I'm like, he emails me out of the blue. And he's like, do you want to work on an issue of Avengers? I'm like, yeah, let me check. Wow. No, yeah, of course. And he's like, yeah, so we'll have you for a few issues. Can you do a cover? I'm like, yes, yes. You know, it's like, it was like a huge break for me. Previous to that, I worked for smaller companies and other clients, you know, other Marvel licensees, whatever. I worked I had a little bit of experience with that, just doing all kinds of things. So yeah, but if you want to get into Marvel proper or just about any major company, it does take a while. You do have to be very, very patient and just grind it out, you know, to keep improving and just don't stop, you know. Which I know it's not for everyone. Like, a lot of people have different situations. Again, yeah. I'm lucky that I was able to, there wasn't as much pressure on me to like, you know, get a quote unquote real job or something like that.
This is a question we normally ask yung mga Filipino talents who make it in the wrestling industry. So I guess applicable din siya sa'yo. How hard is it, or how daunting is it to be a Filipino and to try to break through in the comic industry?
You know, that's actually one of the things that, like, I used to listen to Colt Cabana's podcast, right? And back then he'd have guys like Moxley or Tyler Black, like they talk about their experience, and that's one of the reasons why, or another reason why I'm into wrestling, is that I could kind of relate to people trying to break into the industry. Of course, drawing comic books is so far from doing what professional wrestlers do, but it's kind of structured the same way. Like, you start small, like maybe like with, I don't know, backyard federations, I guess, and the same thing with comic books, with smaller, just individual clients. And then you work for whatever, for free or for peanuts. And then you just keep going, climbing, scratching your way up there. And you're trying to get to like the indie level, like the ROH Impact level. And then your main goal is to get to, obviously for comics, everybody knows it's Marvel and DC, the big two. With wrestling, it's, well, I don't know what you'd call AEW, but for the longest time it was WCW and WWE, right? So they had a big two also. So yeah, I could always relate to that, and it's very similar in that sense.
Interesting. Interesting that you point out those parallelisms between both industries. Yeah. I used to make those comparisons then in my primary field, which is radio. So I can totally relate with what you're trying to say here. Let's transition to your love for wrestling, though, because it's very rare that we find mga wrestling fans in other lines of work. So let's talk about that fandom. Where did it all begin for you, and who was the first wrestler that was your favorite talaga?
Okay, so let's see. So wrestling is, there's actually a big overlap, I guess, between, like, obviously I'm more into the comic book world, of course, and and I see a lot of overlap in among the creators, among the fans. And I think it's mostly because of, you know, like they always make the comparison that wrestling is like a soap opera, right?
Yeah.
And I always hear that. And for the longest time, I just thought, like they always say, it's soap opera for men. So that's how I used to think about it. But now it's like, oh, you know what? It's soap opera because it's over dramatic. You know, like there's a heightened sense of drama. You like everything is enhanced, I guess. So I've always thought like that appeals to people who are also into comic books. Like for a lot of people who like comics, of course there are a lot of different types of comic books. You have your, you know, like crime comic books like Sin City or horror comic books or comedy, whatever. But the vast majority of people know comic books as like superhero medium, right? Like even up to now even if you have the movies and stuff, like comic books for many people is superheroes. And you know, I mean, obviously if you have like a Hulk Hogan's like a living superhero, right? Especially back then. And even now you have like guys like Ricochet, you know, guys like obviously like Neville when he was with the WWE. Even if tastes change, it's always like these people are superhuman, and you have villains and you have the heels and the faces and all that. So that's, it's not, I don't think it's too much of a stretch. Like if you're into one, you could easily cross over into the other and see like the parallels of this, you know, with storylines and with all the twists and turns and stuff. And yeah, that's probably it. That's how I got into really involved into wrestling. It has a lot of the same concepts, I guess.
So now that we brought up wrestling and its parallels with comics, I was asking you this before we started the recording about the wrestling world in the comic book industry. Back in the day, I remember reading a lot of WCW comics. I don't know if you remember this, but they came out with like a limited run of like really hokey action comics where Bret Hart and Kevin Nash were superheroes that came with action figures, right? And I remember that. And is this something that you are looking to get into now? Because as you mentioned, comic books in general and at large are just very open and not restricted to a specific genre. So is this something you want to get into, like wrestling comic books, basically?
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is, for the longest time, I did not know that was possible for me, for a lot of people. Like you were saying, back then they did have, WWE had comic books.
Right.
And there are always times, like in the 90s, I think there was like a WCW comic book.
Yes. Yeah, that was what I was referring to. Yeah.
Right. And then in the 2000s, you had Chaos Comics. They used to produce WWE comic books.
Right.
But those are like, there's always like only, for the longest time, there was only like one comic book in the comic book, one wrestling comic book in the comic book industry, right?
Right.
So that goes to one guy. So one guy's drawing that. And if that's not you, then tough luck. You have more important things to worry about than getting there. So I never even thought that was possible. I guess this goes into a little bit into my own experiences with that. Boom is another comic book publisher. Right. They're like in the indie level again.
They have a WWE comic, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Exactly, yes. They were, before they started with that, one of their editors contacted me about trying out for that comic book.
Wow.
This is like 2016, 2015, I can't remember. So right away, like I'm like, whoa, holy crap, like this can happen. So I did some tryouts. Unfortunately, I didn't get the job, which was, you know, it was terrible. But you know, at the start of that, I was like, okay, so this might happen. You know, like I had the chance, and who knows what can happen in the future, right? So, and at the same time, in both industries, things were happening that made wrestling and comics more intertwined, I guess. And the comic book side, you have the rise of licensed comic books. That's always been a thing, but it's gotten stronger and stronger in recent years. Now you have like a lot of companies have comic books based on Dune or like you guys mentioned, Glow. So that's become more of a possibility compared to before. And then with on the wrestling side, the I don't know what you call it, the decentralization, I guess, of the wrestling industry with companies like when Lucha Underground was a thing. I think some of their talents produced their own comic books.
No, I think Lucha Underground itself had a comic because I remember reading that. It was like a tie-in to the actual show.
There you go. Exactly. They had their own comic books, and a lot of independent wrestlers they get involved, not always like as in terms of their own characters, but in terms of like writing or producing their own stories. So there are a lot of wrestling related comic books out there right now, not necessarily related to WWE or even AEW. But there's a lot out there. So yeah, I've been fortunate to have been able to get involved in a few of those. And yeah, for a fan of both comics and wrestling, of course, it's like one of the best things ever, right?
So Butch, the way you talk about wrestling, it's very clear that you're not just a fan who watches WWE and you're able to casually draw promotions. And it shows us that you really know your stuff. Do you really closely follow other wrestling promotions? Before we get to that, though, let's tell you about our friends from Lazada.
All right. So we're well after the holidays, but, you know, online shopping doesn't stop. I mean, last year, online shopping grew a lot in the Philippines. And that is, I think, that at the end, we had so much shit to buy. And, well, we still have a lot of stuff to buy right now. So if you still need to buy a lot of stuff or whatever you want, whatever you need online, you can do it via Lazada. We have an affiliate link on Lazada. That's tinyurl.com/wrestlingwrestlingxlazada. That's one word. And all your purchases on the site will go a long way in helping us keep the lights on and keeping us doing what we're doing here on the show. So again, just click the link or enter it on your browser. That's tinyurl.com/wrestlingwrestlingxlazada before you go check out. And we will get a small commission that will help us out.
What's up, boomers? This is Usopp on Retro.
Hey, what's up? I'm Sonya.
Hey, my name's Ron.
Yo, we're boomers and we love to talk about video games and otaku culture, and we're from the Philippines.
Catch us live on the Kumu app every Saturday at 5 p.m. and the podcast every Monday at 8 a.m.
Catch your nerds there.
The way you talk about wrestling, halatang hindi ka lang WWE only na fan. Kasi diba in the fandom, we're like a spectrum. There's like one side na sobrang WWE only, but the way that you casually drop other promotions, it's like you really know your stuff. So do you closely follow other non-WWE promotions?
I was trying to figure out my fandom, right? Thinking about what we were going to talk about today, and I was like, so I think like I don't watch as many shows as I used to, like in terms of the actual wrestling shows.
Yeah, because life happens.
Life happens. Yeah, and as a guy who's like for the longest time it was just WWE for especially for us Filipinos, right? Yeah. WCW, but that went away. So you know, you kind of get sick of it, and you're like, oh, and then there's like this shiny thing over here, like ROH. Oh. Just like 10 years ago, right? Who's this guy? And it's like, oh, Bryan Danielson. And look at the crowds. They're so small, but they're so loud. This is so interesting. And then you go like search on the internet. Oh, you know, like look for interviews and, oh, this guy went to Japan and whatever. So it just in terms of being, I don't know, geeky, I guess, if that's the term, like you want to dive deeper always. So you see like the WWE, that's the first thing you see when you were as a wrestling fan, and you're like, oh, that's cool. They're the best. They it's all well produced, and they're all they don't make as many mistakes, I guess. But then you go to something more raw. You're like, oh, look at this Lucha Underground stuff. This is like the characters here are interesting. Like they don't speak English, but you know, the wrestling is more intense. Like they do high risk and stuff. So I guess that's it. Like it's just being kind of a geek about just about anything. And the cool thing is now as a fan of wrestling, you have that, like you, and because of the internet and all that, you can go as deep as you want. So for me personally, like I said, I don't watch too many full shows anymore. But at the same time, like, oh, I can listen to Jericho's podcast. I can watch BTE or I can read the WWE comic book. So there's a lot of ways to express your fandom, I guess.
Speaking of expressing your fandom, I'm looking through your portfolio right now and I love the pinups. Like, I think the AEW pinup is probably my favorite from the ones that are on your website. So how often do you get to dabble in wrestling-related art?
Yeah, and not as much as I'd want, for sure. Just in general, they're different kinds of artists. Some artists really like to sketch and be fans, I guess. I'm not that kind of artist, so unfortunately, I don't get to draw as much of what I want as much as I want, I guess. So I had free time. When was it? AEW was like 2017, maybe, right? The first episodes.
No,
2019. Oh wow. Yeah, it felt like forever.
I know. There you go. So right before the launch of that, they I don't know who the parent company is, but they were doing a lot of, they were to hype up the start of Dynamite. They were doing a lot of pinups from DC artists. I don't know if you guys saw that. Like, there was like a Kenny Omega one, like a Hangman one, whatever. So
I vaguely remember.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember.
And I'm like, I can do that. Like, I can blow these guys away. I'll do every character. every wrestler, I guess, every performer, for Dynamite. So before that, they had the pay per view specials, I guess. So I could look through the roster. I'm like, I put every single one of you guys in this drawing. So that took like a week, I guess, because I decided to color that and do everything as well. And then I remember when the first episode came out, that's when I think Hager debuted on the first episode of Dynamite.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
And LAX. So those were the last three guys that I added on. So if you look for them, they're kind of in awkward places in that pinup. So I was like, I gotta put these guys in. They're part of the launch, I guess.
Wait lang, napastop ako because I was actually looking for Hager and Santana and Ortiz.
Santana and Ortiz are really just small heads.
Really tiny. Where can I put them in? Lips on the art.
Yeah, and looking back at that, I'm like, that particular piece, I'm like, wow, some of these guys, like, they left already. And even though they were part of the, that was only a year or two ago. Like, Bea Presley's not there anymore. I'm like, oh, she's not. Okay. And just a lot of shifting with talent these days, which is terrific.
Right. But the core is still here. The core of the art is still here.
Yeah. Good thing. I have to put Cody in the middle. He's not going anywhere. The Bucks.
Yeah. And to Kenny, obviously, it's not going anywhere either. So yeah. You pretty much have the core there. So in terms of your commissions, though, what are the types of commissions you've done that are wrestling related? And what's the biggest platform in which your wrestling fandom has bled into your work?
Right. So I have some, what's this? So I have one of my clients. He produces merchandise for, I will not remember the name, one of the wrestling promotions in Australia, I guess. And he's partners with one of the wrestlers over there. Concrete Davidson is his name. So we used to work doing other things, and then he's like, oh, you're a wrestling fan. Could you do me like a pinup of all these wrestlers? And it's guys that, honestly, I, even being somewhat of a hardcore wrestling fan, guys that I didn't know, but you know, he sent me references. I'm like, oh, cool. I guess the biggest one there is Robbie Eagles, who I think you guys interviewed or you talked to before.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was even before he debuted in New Japan. So I remember when he debuted in New Japan, I was like, oh, that guy, I drew him once, right? So that was cool. And he's like, could you draw me a Jimmy Havoc? I'm like, okay. So I researched Jimmy Havoc. And again, with AEW, when Jimmy Havoc comes out, I'm like, I like that guy. I feel like some sort of connection to him because I drew him. Like, he doesn't know who I am, but I drew him. And it turns out he's kind of a douche, but still. So he's not with them anymore. But still, like whenever I see Jim Havoc, I'm like, you're cool, man. I like you.
I guess in a way, parang ganun din sa amin with us on the podcast. Oh yeah, we got to interview this person or that person. So yeah, like Robbie Eagles or Thunder Rosa or Jeff Cobb, diba? These wrestlers who we've interacted with because of our work on the podcast. We have this connection to them, even though to them we're, you know, little blips on their tapestry of a career. So I kind of get where you're coming from when you say that.
No, that's really cool though. That's really cool. Like Jeff Cobb doesn't have Filipino blood, does he?
He does.
He's very Filipino.
His Filipino side is from Cebu.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. I thought he was he's Hawaiian or something.
He was based in Guam, diba? So like he competed for Guam in the Olympics.
And the Olympics. Okay. All right.
Yeah. But yeah. He is proudly Pinoy. When he performed here in the Philippines in October 2019, he even said, "Tara, suntukan tayo," in the ring, like one of the first sequences.
Oh, shit.
that drew a big pop from the crowd.
I mean, yeah, and was there like I thought there would be like dead silence, like nobody would want to mess with with someone like that.
Have you ever had the chance to design merch, as in yung talagang nag-appear sa t-shirts on pro wrestling tees? Have you ever done that type of work?
I'm trying to think. You know what? No. Well, yeah. Again, the stuff I did for the Australian promotion, I think those turned into t-shirts, and I did a comic book for them. And from what I gather, they'd sell those things at, I guess, posters too, of course. They'd sell those after the shows over there. But in terms of pro wrestling tees, not yet. I always think about that. Like, what if I contact some wrestler? Obviously, like I'm not a big name in comics, but maybe like I can contact some guy who's coming up on his way up, and then maybe we could partner up. But I've just never been able to get into that. But that's something I'd definitely be interested in if it ever happened.
It's funny that you say like I don't know how I can make that happen, but you'd be surprised, because one of our friends of the podcast and a former guest, his name is Chino Andin. He's also a local artist, and he just hit up wrestlers like Shayna Baszler and Jessamy Duke, Jessica Havoc, right. Timothy Thatcher, Killer Kelly, and he started just sending them his work of them, and then they ended up becoming clients, repeat clients.
Awesome.
Right. So yeah, I mean, to see one Filipino artist do that. Kaya siguro natanong ko sa'yo, parang, you know, with that being a possibility pala, diba? We live in a world where we can be here in the Philippines stuck on freaking lockdown, and you can be making art for, you know, these wrestlers internationally.
Right. No, that's awesome. More power to him. And I'm sure obviously if he's gotten so many clients, and he's like a really good artist in his own right. So that's pretty cool.
In terms of your art, what's your dream work na wrestling related? Because yeah, you've done a lot on your portfolio. That's way more than I was expecting to find. But if there was a dream project na wrestling related, what would that be, and which brands would you want to be involved with?
Yeah, I guess it's still, I mean, I don't watch it as much as like other companies, but it's got to be WWE, right? Especially since, like I said, like I got close before. They still have a lot of talents that I like, you know, like if I ever got like one guy. So obviously I was monitoring the comic, even though I could never read the WWE comic, because it was just too painful. But I'd monitor it, like I'd keep an eye out on it. And then like there was like an issue with Kevin Steen and Sami Zayn, and I love Kevin Steen and Sami Zayn, and it was about their rivalry. I was like, oh my god, if I drew that. And of course the guy who drew it is so good too. He's like a legit wrestling fan as well. I've actually gotten to know the guy who beat me for the job. And of course he's a cool guy, so I can't really hate on him too much. And a great artist. So, but yeah, like when I see something like that, like a comic with a performer that I like, and a lot of them are still with WWE. So yeah, like a WWE comic book would be like the holy grail for me, I guess.
We talked about our ages right before we hit record. So I'm not, hindi kita lalaglagin. Like I'm just gonna say na you're in your late 30s. So you've seen a lot throughout your time as a wrestling fan. But you know, to get to this point of having watched wrestling for all this time, what's kept you around this long? Why do you still love it?
I think, honestly, it's one. Well, one thing is, like I said, I don't watch a lot of wrestling as much as I used to. So I think that's one of the things where I know some people who were really into wrestling. They get burned out, like with any hobby, right? You go too deep into it, and then you burn out, and maybe you come back in a few years, maybe you don't. With me, like, I've never been too into wrestling in that sense, like in terms of the number of hours I spend on it. Like I now all I do is watch clips. I watch like a Yoshirai GIF, or I watch highlights on YouTube. I read articles, whatever. But I'm always doing other things as well. So that's kept the fandom. It's like a slow burn, you know, like it doesn't go out, but it's never too intense. If I can get a little too dramatic myself. So it's always, and there's always like something new. Like I said, like back in the day when you're young, you like it for the performance, right? Like these are characters, it's real. And then later on, it's like, the characters are scripted, but the matches are real. So I like these performers. And then when kayfabe broke down a bit, you're like, okay, so now we're getting interviews. You know, we find out more about what's going on behind the scenes. Like, who the hell is Bruce Pritchard? Like, Brother Love is like the producer of the show. Like, and going up to now, like you see the performers more. It's not just you know their real names or who they were before in the indies. Like they perform, quote unquote, perform as themselves. Like if you see like the Dark Order on BTE, those are characters, but those aren't necessarily the same characters on Dynamite, right? So you get more invested with the actual talent, and they all have podcasts, and you listen to the podcast, and you get to know their personalities. Yes, that's why I was tweeting out when the news hit about Brody Lee. Like it was a little different because I kind of know Brody, I guess John Huber, the performer. I know a little bit about him behind the scenes because I saw him play video games on Up Up Down Down. You know, like I know the real the real him. So when with his passing, it's like, oh, the guy is gone, not just Luke Harper, you know?
Yeah.
Right. So let's backtrack a bit back to your comic roots, I should say. We've talked about how you're involved with Marvel, with IDW, and all these international brands. But in the Philippines, we also have a sort of burgeoning comic book scene. So is that something you're looking to get involved with as well?
Well, I don't know. I got involved with, obviously that's something I've wanted to do for like forever, right? I dabble, I guess. Same thing with wrestling. It's not, you have to move stuff around. So I remember in like 2009, I wrote and drew my own little, we call them ashcans, like little, you know, the risograph comic books,
right,
that are printed out and you staple them, and right, it's very DIY. You print them in.
It's like a Xeroxography type of thing, right? Like
it's very very do it yourself. So I did that in, I don't know, like God, 10 years ago, and then like 5 years ago I got involved with this Studio Salimbal, who's and I drew like a superhero comic book starring people from Manila and Cebu and whatever. And the writer of that, Paolo Cicchianco, he's actually a big wrestling fan too. We never did anything wrestling related, but he was one of the guys who got me into New Japan, actually. I remember it was like, you know, you should check out this guy, Naito. He's like a cool character. And like, I'm like, okay, sure. And I saw, you know, that. So it all like leads towards other things, you know, like whenever it's like a geeky thing.
Butch, I want to ask about the local comic industry, especially at a time like this, na may pandemia. So what were the specific effects on the comic industry because of the pandemic? We'll get to your insights in a bit, but first, let's tell you about our friends over at Shopee.
Shopee has over a million there. It's an exaggeration. They have a lot. They have a lot of deals on there. I don't really know the exact number, but what I do know is that the Wrestling Podcast has your back when it comes to all the amazing deals, as well as a referral code for all of us on this side of the world. So if you want to help us out, and if you want to get in on all those deals, you can do so by accessing Shopee. That's tinyurl.com/WWPXShopee. Again, tinyurl.com/WWPXShopee. Just type that into your browser. It'll lead you to the Shopee affiliate page. And for every successful checkout, we get a little something on the side to help keep the lights on here on the Wrestling Podcast.
Hi, this is Rika.
Hi, this is JC. So you like listening to podcasts?
Try listening to ours. It's called The Hala Hala Show.
Yeah, we talk about X, Y, and Z.
It's called our lives.
Yeah. Also, the trending topics. We talk about what's going on in the world. And we'll read some of your fan mail if you send it to us.
Ooh, fan mail. I never thought that we would have fan mail.
Yeah.
But we're here with two.
Yes. It's available wherever you listen to your podcast, wherever you listen to all your favorite podcasts, to any of your Podcast Network Asia shows as well. So after listening to this one, why don't you give us a try?
Please, go listen to our show, okay?
Slurp on.
Slurpers.
At the risk of sounding like someone who doesn't know anything, I want to ask about the local comic industry in the time of the pandemic. Like, syempre, given na all industries were affected, diba, by COVID, pero what were the specific, I guess, effects on the comic industry as a result of the pandemic?
Well, the big thing for the Philippines, I guess the biggest effect is that there are no conventions. We can't have any big gatherings, of course. And a lot of the people who produce indie comic books here, they make their sales at the big comic cons, comic conventions that happen like once or twice, a few times a year.
Right.
So we don't have those. So I guess a lot of people had to, I don't know, they had to find alternative ways of making money. And in terms of the U.S. the U.S., it's the same thing. They had no conventions. And all of the comic books made in the U.S., they're all distributed by one company, and that company shut down for a few months. So that pretty much shut down comics for a few months.
Wow.
So, yeah, and again, everybody had to find like alternative ways to earn money. And it's a good thing because it's a good thing that there are things now like Kickstarter. So these people, a lot of independent comic book creators, they moved to Kickstarter, and you know, they just package their own comics. They just skip the comic shop, they skip the distributor. You know, they can just engage directly with their audience and, you know, just mail out the comic books or produce digital comics, which is also a thing now. So it's very, in that sense, it's the comic book industry is lucky that the technology is in place that you have alternatives to the traditional forms of distribution, I guess.
Right. We're getting down to our last few questions here. And I want to ask how, if you're a budding artist here in the Philippines and if you want to get into the field, what does the landscape look like right now? So pwedeng siguro with the lens of the pandemic, pwedeng without it. Like, diba, for this generation in 2021, how does a budding Filipino artist make it in this industry?
Ooh, for comic books, it's easy and it's hard in the sense that it's easy because you obviously always need to keep drawing and keep improving. That goes without saying, right? But the cool thing about comic books is with the internet, you just have to, it's so easy to show your work to people in other countries. Like you go to, it's easy to find, like a lot of comic book companies, they literally have their submission guidelines on their website. So once you have the skills, the storytelling, you just need storytelling, you need drawing. Those two things, storytelling, drawing. Once you get those, send them your work. If you're good, then they'll get back to you. If you're not, keep trying, you know, and that's it. It's so easy. The problem is because it's easy, everyone can do it. So you're competing against some guys from Brazil, guys from Europe, guys from wherever. So yeah, there's a lot of competition right now. If you want to get into comic books, you have to have a lot of patience, and maybe like don't expect you're gonna be drawing Spider-Man or Wolverine right away. Like you might have to be drawing, you know, characters from some client, or if you, there's also like stuff like webtoons, you know, like web comics. That's also another thing, another avenue that we have nowadays. Another way to break into the industry, I think. It's hard, but a lot of people do it, you know? So why can't you, you know?
You mentioned kanina na you felt like you were one of the luckier ones because you never had to have the pressure of getting another job to support yourself and, you know, just really focus on your comics. But was there ever any resistance from your parents when you decided to, you know, turn pro as an artist and really pursue this full time? And as a two-parter, what was their reaction when they found out na you're a legit Marvel artist now?
Okay, so not a lot of, there was some pressure. That's why I didn't study fine arts. That's why I didn't. So it was like, you gotta get a degree. I'm like, okay. But at the same time, even back then when I was researching, even from magazines and stuff and whatever articles were online, it was like, you don't need an education to get into comic books. So I'm like, so I always had like a plan, you know, like, okay, I gotta get my degree and then I need to buy a scanner, you know, buy the tools. And then you as long as you have a plan, you can follow your dream, I think. Or I don't know, I don't want to dissuade anyone, but it's better to follow your dream if you have a plan, right? So that's probably the thing that everyone should keep in mind. And in terms of the Avengers thing, well, obviously it's a weird thing because a lot of people who aren't into as much into the your career journey or whatever, they're just into comic books, or not even into comic books. They just assume that if you say you draw, you're a professional comic book artist, that you work for Marvel or DC. So you know, I introduced myself and to somebody who's like a casual fan, I guess, they'd be like, oh, okay, who do you draw, X-Men? You draw Fantastic Four? I'm like, no.
But at least like, you can say you draw Avengers now.
No, now I can say that, but back then they'd assume. So meaning like when I'd say I draw Avengers now, they'd be like, oh, I thought you've always been doing that. It's kind of a lifelong dream that I had to work for 10 years, 20 years, whatever. So, yeah, that's an annoying thing.
I'm browsing through your Instagram here, looking at your work, and I saw something about the Superhero Mega Anthology 2. It's a giveaway that you and other artists are doing, if I'm not mistaken. Can you tell us more about it and why you, a guy with your tenure in your position, is just giving away free comic book art to the public?
Oh, well, somebody approached me about that. The person in charge of it's like an online anthology, so it's not a physical book.
Right.
So she was like, we're doing this thing where, you know, if you have any old material, you can send it, and then we're doing giveaways. So if you have anything that you can give away, you know, if you're interested, like it's not for profit or anything like that. It's right. Just to spread, you know, like during this hard times, you can spread like some free giveaways for people who are interested in superheroes or speculative fiction. So I'm like, okay. So I looked at my stuff and I'm like, okay, I could send her this, give away that. And apparently it was a success. I wasn't really focused on it as much as I could have been. I didn't promote it as much as well as I could have, but it was nice because at least she could say, oh, we have a Marvel artist participating. So I hope that it could drum up some interest in the giveaway, or it helped with promoting it at least.
As a last question, I want to go back to wrestling kasi doon naman talaga tayo nagsimula. This is how we got talking, our shared fandom and our shared love for this soap opera for men, as you put it earlier. What keeps you watching, or who keeps you watching, you know, in this current era?
Who is a better question yet?
Yes. Who keeps you watching then? Who do you keep your eyes on?
Okay, so my, so as a, I guess as a creative, I guess my big thing now for what I like in wrestling is like story, right? Story arcs. And of course there are a lot of great story arcs within in terms of the front of the camera, like you know, like for example DIY, like that whole story, it was like, well, like a year or 2 years of just perfect storytelling with these two characters and what they went through together and apart and, you know, whatever. But the biggest, the most interesting thing right now for me is the meta story arc of, so big right now, it's hard to, like with Jericho and the Bucks and Kenny and like those guys, when like in their own ways, they all broke away from the norm, right? And they bet on themselves with their own like podcast, their own, like Cody leaving WWE, the Bucks with not going to WWE. And then you have this whole thing with AEW, of course, not just New Japan, but AEW and Jericho getting what's his name, Don Callis involved with Impact. And now Don Callis is working with Kenny, like this big thing, like behind the scenes, like it's this whole interesting multi-year story of their lives. And it's so interesting to watch. And none of that, oh no, actually now it's bleeding into the show itself, right?
Yeah, but across AEW and Impact.
Yeah, exactly. And even with Ibushi, right? Before, like with the Golden Lovers and stuff, and Ibushi's in charge of NJPW, the champ, and what's going to happen with that? Like maybe there's, you know, whatever. Like it's so interesting, and very little of it is WWE, right? That's the coolest part of it. Like, so there's like wrestling is so much more than just what Vince McMahon wants it to be, right? Like we, like fans and the performers, there's so much more that they can do creatively to express themselves and to be successful. So that's probably my biggest bit of fandom, like how I interact with pro wrestling right now. It's as a fan, as someone who likes storytelling, as someone who enjoys like people being successful in their own terms. So that's probably it. Sorry for blabbing on that.
Oh, no.
No, it's good.
It's yeah. Fascinating, right? Like, it's so interesting.
Sobra. And I guess for us fans over the age of like 18, di na maiwasan that we look at the meta of it all, which is exactly what you described, diba? How life imitates art, or how art imitates life in some cases. So yeah, totally understand where you're coming from.
Okay. Before we go, I just want to ask quickly to you guys, because with whatever bit of my fandom with the NBA or wrestling or comic books, I'm always a fan of duos for some reason. I don't know what that says about me, but of course in wrestling, that means I really, really like tag teams. So I was wondering who your guys' favorite tag teams are right now, or maybe of all time, like, If you can share that with us.
I want to take it because I was just watching this week's Dynamite earlier today, and I really, really love it when I watch the Jurassic Express do their thing on TV. So I used to just love Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy, but okay, all three of them are pretty awesome. They deserve their spot on Dynamite. And I can't wait for the day they become the AEW Tag Team Champions, because I think they're right now, no bar, no cap, I think they're the best team in the division. So looking forward to what they can do and their ceiling.
All right. I have it on my shirt, so I'm going to stick with them. This is actually a Revival shirt from back in the day, one of their first NXT shirts. And the reason I bought it was because I actually saw them live in a small house show when I was in the US. And Scott Dawson, Dax Harwood is just one of the most captivating wrestlers you see in a ring. He's very charismatic. He knows what he's doing in there, and he interacts with the audience as the match progresses. I remember one specific moment where somebody was heckling him, and he heckled the guy back. So parang pinatulan niya yung audience member. It was just so crazy that a wrestler actually responds to that, kind of in the same way a stand-up comic would when they riff. Diba? So it's amazing. Right, right. It's amazing for me to see that happen in ring. So I've always been a fan of the Revival since that very first house show that I saw them in. Other tag teams, maybe let's go old school. I like the Beverly Brothers. You guys remember the Beverly Brothers? Is there a niche tag
I do
team
not know who they are.
From the 90s. Sobrang, I only like them because of their finishing move, which almost killed the guy. That's the only reason.
Shit.
Shaker Height Spike. Google it, kids.
I remember. I think Alan wrote about this.
Yeah, so it's incredibly unsafe. But it's also the very epitome of what 90s wrestling is. As in, sakitan lang kayo ng sakitan.
Tanginan dahil lang yun eh. Favorite ko sila kasi almost killed the guy.
Yeah, it's just so perplexing to me how they were able to get away with it. It's just, true. Okay. Ang galing lang. So yun.
For me, I guess this generation, it's DIY. I love Gargano and Ciampa. Yay. Like yeah. The two of them. I really love them individually, love them apart. Pero yung tag team na buo pa rin is probably Miz and Morrison. So I love how annoying they are. And I have a very soft spot for John Morrison because he went on Survivor. And I love Survivor. I've seen all 40 seasons. And I've met John Morrison twice. I have an autographed Survivor buff of John Morrison. So ganun ako ka huge fan of Jomo. So yun, I love the work that they do. I love them. So yun.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show. And
what about you, Butch?
Hold on, Butch. How about you? Who are your favorite tag teams?
Oh man, this is the worst. Very few fans forgive me for saying that it's the New Age Outlaws.
It's fine.
No problem. Yeah, no.
They weren't bad.
I like them as a tag team. Yeah.
Exactly. There you go. Thank you. Like, what I like about them is that they're so unique individually, but at the same time, like, they're so different. Like, one guy is he's got the look and he's got the athleticism. The other guy doesn't have the look. He has the mic skills and the charisma. So they complement each other perfectly, I guess. But at the same time, I like that they have matching gear sometimes. Like, they have, it's completely different, but they have the same colors. And I don't know, like, they're a tag team and they make sense, but at the same time they're not, like, it took me until this year to figure out which one was Jimmy Uso, you know, like, no
hey fans. You're not alone. You're not alone. And we actually do this every week. You're not alone.
Thank you so much. but with the Outlaws, like, right away, oh, this guy and there's this guy. So those are as I mature as a fan. Like, I see what like guys like Jericho were hinting at. Like, they're really good in the ring, not necessarily in the work rate sense. Like, you see like an AJ Styles or like a whoever, like a Seth Rollins, like that kind of work rate. But as like bump and feed guys, when I watched their matches from 2015, 2014 on their last run, and then going back to during their heyday, like, they're always like in the perfect spot, you know, like when they take the big moves from The Rock or, you know, the bigger stars, they always get to the next spot. And I don't know, like, that's something that I never appreciated back then. Like, all I saw back then was, you know, the catchphrases and the crotch chops. But now, you know, you see there's a different level of appreciation for their wrestling skills. That's why I like them.
That's an entirely different discussion there. Uh-huh. On how they work.
Yeah. So. We can probably do another episode on that. You know, like, I don't know how much longer we'll be stuck at home, and, you know, however long that'll be, it'll probably just give us more opportunities to get together and just have conversations like this. Yeah, in the meantime, though, Butch, if our listeners want to check out your work, where can they find your portfolio and the other stuff you're working on?
Right. You can find me on Twitter. That's where I'm most dal-dal, I guess. I think it's Butch Mapa, one word. Or it's Tutubi or Butch Mapa. Instagram is the same thing. Butch Mapa or Tutubi, I don't know. Tutubee. That's probably the best way to see my work.
All right. Butch Mappa, thank you so much for joining us here on the Wrestling Wrestling Podcast. Really appreciate you representing Filipinos on the global stage with your work with Marvel, and you know, more power to you. We can't wait to see what other heights you'll be able to conquer as you carry the Filipino flag.
Yeah, this was so much fun, guys. You know, from one wrestling geek to other wrestling geeks, just talking to you guys. You know, I'm right now I'm going through your backlog. You have like 400, almost 400 episodes. Is there a lot to go back through? But I will say I listen to a lot of podcasts, but not to too many wrestling related podcasts these days for whatever reason. The wrestling podcast is, I don't know, your flow, I guess, or your jive, whatever the balance you guys have in terms of the reviews and your opinions and your vibe, it's perfect. I love listening to your new episodes, and I am going to slowly dig my way back through your archives. So thank you.
Don't go too back. Don't go too far back.
Siguro within the last year lang. Pwede na yun.
2 years. One or two years. I wouldn't want you to go all the way back kasi medyo na kaya na.
All right. Thanks,
Butch.
Thanks, all man. Right. Thanks, Butch.
Thanks again to Butch Mappa for joining us here on the Wrestling Wrestling Podcast. If you want to check out his stuff, a lot of it is on Twitter, actually. It's at Butch Mappa. So check him out over there. Now, before we get out of here, we got to let you know about some other deals you can get just because you're a listener of the Wrestling Wrestling Podcast, just like this one from our friends from Mr. Speedy.
All right. If you need to send something small, something easily handled all around Metro Manila and participating places, we have a Mr. Speedy code. That is Wrestling Wrestling X Mr. Speedy. You can use it for your very first Mr. Speedy delivery. It gives you 50 pesos off on that delivery. So imagine that. Imagine the amount you need to pay for deliveries and get 50 pesos off of that. That is a huge, huge bonus. So get on it if you need to send something right now.
Again, the code is Wrestling Wrestling X Mr. Speedy. All right, boys, let's get to quick plugs before we get out of here. Of course, you've got the weekly live stream of the Wrestling Wrestling Podcast. We are on Kumu. Please follow us at Wrestling Wrestling Pod or on Facebook.com/Wrestling Wrestling Podcast. We go on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Sakto yan, right after yung back-to-back ng Dynamite and NXT. We try to marathon those on Thursdays for you guys, and we really have a lot of fun doing that just the same. We also have the Patreon, which you can sign up for as low as 250 pesos. It's patreon.com/wrestling wrestling podcast. You get so much just because you're a patron of the show, like you get the official Wrestling Wrestling Podcast masks. Siyempre, kailangan pa rin natin a face mask ngayon. Sobrang handy niyan in this time. You also get to be part of our viewing parties, and we're having one for the Royal Rumble. February 1, Monday, Manila time. We've got that covered for you. Speaking of the Royal Rumble, Jake Cuenca is joining us on the Wrestling Wrestling Podcast episode to review the Royal Rumble. That's on February 4, Thursday, 7 p.m. live on Kumu and on Facebook. All right, Chino, what's going on sa Class Clown?
Class Clown this week is all about retro anything. So we talk about toys, we talk about video games, we talk about ukais and finding these little gems in as far as Baguio and Indonesia. And joining me to talk about all things 80s to 90s toys and games, we have Angelo Mendez from Usapan Retro. We have Mikoy Castillo, who is a stand-up comedian and a very avid toy collector. And of course, we have GB Labrador, a cool pal and a very, very experienced toy collector in his own right. So that's coming out this week. It's the second to the last episode of Class Clown. So I do hope you tune in.
Season one.
For season number one. May season two pa, guys. Relax lang.
Papahinga lang. Sabi mo, second to the last.
Second to the last episode of season one. Huwag kayo ma-excite masyado. May iba pang episodes. Makakala niya tapos na eh. May-excite kayo masyado eh.
Relax lang. Okay. Alright, Ro. How about you?
No, pinalag mo na yung Patreon eh. So, I won't be plugging Twitch right now since I don't know when I'll be doing a stream next. So, I'm gonna plug smarkhenry.com. Still going strong into the new year. Still got people reviewing Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite. Stan's still doing his Team Zong Tuesday columns, especially now that the WWE is releasing their new songs as of late. So a lot of content almost every day. Never nawawalan ng content. So please do read smarkhenry.com. It is the Filipino wrestling fans' voice on the internet.
Stan, pwede ba akong mag-request ng theme song?
Yeah, you should. Get him
for Jungle Boy song. I just want Jungle Boy song.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll do it.
It is technically a theme song now.
Yeah, and by the time that this is out, I'll probably have written about it. So yeah, that's a great idea, Chino. Over on my other podcast, On Deck, you can check out the previous episode featuring Rica Garcia, our podcast on the Halo Halo Show, and of course, one of the hosts of the Morning Rush on RX. And the next episode of On Deck features Chris Chuper, the other half of that iconic Balahura at Balasubas duo over at Love Radio. So check that out. It's called On Deck, and you can find it on Spotify and wherever else you get your podcast fix. Big shout out going out to Babyface producers Nikai and Sola for putting all these episodes together, as well as the rest of the PNA fam for helping us have a platform to keep telling these stories on the Wrestling podcast. And thanks to you and all the patrons and all the listeners and all the viewers of the Wrestling podcast, wherever you can find us. We'll catch you again on the next episode, most probably on the Kumu live stream. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, keep those masks on, and wash your hands. On behalf of Ro Moran and Chino Liao, my name is Stan C, and we are out of here.
Peace.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.